You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
We're in Psalm 57. You know that I'm a car buff. I love these 50s and 60s. And so we started off with a 55 Chevy. And we started off in Psalm 55. We'll review in a little bit. And then last week, we looked at a 56 Chevy. Now there's a beauty, isn't that? Isn't that a beautiful car? Now, we don't have any Bible to it, but it's a 56 Chevy. I'll tell you that right now. And tonight is the car of cars. Brother Harder, I don't remember, but you were telling me, I can't remember, you were telling me the 57 Chevy was almost canceled. Is that right, Pete? You're shaking your head. They almost canceled this car. I don't know the reason. I have a good memory. It's just short. And I forgot what you told me last Wednesday night, but here's a 57 Chevy. We're in Psalm 57 tonight. You say, how many are you going to do? As many Chevys as I can find. I've got Chevys lined up through 64 right now. So we may be in this Bible study. And really, it's just to remind you that in 55, it's verse 18. In 56, it's verse 3. And I'm going to give you the verse for this week. And I'd like you to read the three Psalms every single week. Every single week, at least once. It took me 3 minutes and 13 seconds to read Psalm 55 and 56. It doesn't take a long time, so I'll add 57. So I'll read 55, 56, 57. Keep your hand right here, please. Let's go back to 1 Samuel in chapter 24. 1 Samuel 24. 1 Samuel 24 is the chapter. What's happening in David's life, why he writes Psalm 57. David is in a cave. David is running from Saul. As he runs from Saul, he's hiding in the cave, and lo and behold, Saul comes into that same cave. David's on the sides of the cave, a large cave apparently, many caves in that area, but David's in the cave. And the Bible says, and it came to pass when Saul was returned from following the Philistines, that it was told him, saying, behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of Israel, then went to seek for David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. And he came to the sheepcotes. By the way, there was a cave. And Saul went in to cover his feet, and David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. The men of David said unto him, behold, the day of which the Lord has said unto thee, behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thy hand, that thou mayest do to him as it seemeth good to thee. Then David arose, and he cut off the skirt of Saul's robe. And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him, because he had cut off Saul's skirt. And he said unto his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth my hand against him, seeing that he is the anointed of God, the Lord. And David stayed his servants with these words, and suffered them not to rise against Saul. Saul rose up out of the cave and went on his way. And also afterward, he went out of the cave and cried after Saul, saying, my Lord, the king. And when Saul looked, behold, behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed himself. And David said to Saul, wherefore hearest thou the men's words, saying, behold, David seeketh thy hurt. Behold, this day thine eyes have seen how the Lord hath delivered thee today into my hand in the cave. Verse number 11, and moreover, my father, see the skirt of thy robe in my hand, for I cut the skirt of thy robe and killed thee not. The Lord judge, verse 12, between me and thee. And as thus saith the proverb of the ancient, wickedness proceedeth from the wicked, but my hand shall not be upon thee. The Bible says, and David verse 22, swear unto Saul. And Saul went home, but David and his men got up unto the hold. Go back, if you will, to Psalm 57. In Psalm 57, that is exactly the story of what's taking place. David is running from Saul. And in running from Saul, he's overwhelmed with grief. So he cries out, "Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me." So the first thing David cries out in the midst of his trial with Saul, "I need mercy, God. Mercy is pity. God, I need you to pity my situation. I'm so tired. I'm so weary of running. I'm weary of hiding from Saul. God, please send mercy. I wonder tonight if you need mercy. I wonder if you need the pity of God on this Wednesday night in the balcony of the lower floor. Perhaps not, but there's going to come a time you'll need God's mercy. Don't retaliate against God. Don't get mad at God. Don't quit on God. Don't quit on his church. Amen, amen, amen. Don't quit on God. But cry out for God for mercy. And then he cries out not only for mercy, but to trust him. Trusteth, my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings I will make my refuge until these calamities be past. What calamities? Being chased down by Saul. He knew he was going to come back out, and he does. And it's just one time after another, and Saul is going to try to kill David. But David said, "I'm not going to raise my hand against God's anointed." You know, there's many, many things there that we read in that 1 Samuel 24. Don't raise your hand against your parents' kids. Never raise your hand against your dad. Never raise your hand against your mother. Just don't never put them in anguish. Don't have them stay up all night praying for your soul. R.A. Torrey did that. R.A. Torrey, who pastored the great Moody Church about 1901, I believe it was. R.A. Torrey was away from God, and his mother would pray and beg God, and he came to the point he's going to commit suicide. And as his mother's prayer got a hold of his heart, he went back to God, back to his mother. Don't have your mother spend one night in prayer for your life where she cannot sleep because she's worried about you. Amen. Young man, don't have your mother stay up all night. Young man, don't have your dad stay up. Young lady, don't have your mother or your dad stay up all night praying for your backslidden soul. David said, "I'm not going to touch God's anointed. I'm not going to kill God's anointed. That's God's man." What a powerful text that is. David said instead, "Lord, I need mercy. I need pity. Will you pity my soul? And God, I need to trust you." Trust in the Old Testament is the word faith in the New Testament. I said it. I got to look it up. I said, I think it's 158 times in the Old Testament you find the word trust. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Here in these Psalms 55, 56, 57, it's all about trusting God. Simply trusting every day, trusting through the stormy way. Even when my faith is small, trusting Jesus, that is all. Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to just trust God. The girls, some group around here, they sing, "I can trust Jesus. I can trust Jesus. He never once has failed to meet my need." You can trust God. God's never made a mistake. God's not made a mistake with your life. And though you're being maligned, and though people are against you, and though it seems like your world is crashing in, just have mercy. Ask God for mercy, and ask God that you might trust him. And he says in verse 9, "I will cry unto the Most High." Not your mother crying for you, not your dad crying, but I'm going to cry for my own life. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. Selah. Selah is a musical term. It means raise it a half step. Brother Galvan, when you play a piano, you're over here somewhere, but there you are. When you play it and you raise it, Brother Martinez does that every service. You do it every service. They raise it. When you lower it a half step, it goes normally into a minor key are more of a depressing key. But when you raise a song a half pitch, it goes higher and higher. Psalm 3, I forget it right now. How does Psalm 3 begin? Turn to Psalm 3. Psalm 3. Look at Psalm 3. I forget how it starts right now. And Psalm 3. Lord! Lord! This is when David is fleeing from his son Absalom. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Here is David. He's overwhelmed. Many! What's that second word, second verse? What's the first word? Many there be which say of my soul, there's no help for him in God. When he mentioned the word God, oh yeah, many are against me. But I got God for me. What's he say? What's the next word? Selah. Let's raise it a half step. You know, you get your attention on God, you're going to raise it a half step. Look what he says in the next, but thou, he gets to the Lord. O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, the lifter up of my, that means he puts his thumb under your head, under your jaw, and lifts your head up. Lifter up of my head, I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. What's the last word? Selah, hey, raise it another pitch. Brother Galvan, go to the piano, please. I just thought of this. And look what he says, verse 6. Hi, I laid me down, I laid me down asleep. I awake for the Lord to save me. I'll not be afraid of 10,000 people. By the way, that sounds, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? May there be said, rise against me. Many would say of my soul, there's no help of him in God. Oh, God. Let's raise it a half step. I laid me down, I wake, I'll not be afraid of, he was afraid of several people, but now, I'll not be afraid of 10,000 people that have set themselves against me. Rise, O Lord, save me, O my God, thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone, thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord, the blessing is upon these people, Selah. Let's start Amazing Grace, but lower it down whatever we need to. I can't hear it. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found, was blind, but Selah. Let's raise it a half step. So he says, Selah, God shall send forth his mercy and truth. Amen. Then he says this, my soul is among lions. He's going to say that next week in Psalm 58. Lions. He brings Daniel into it, really. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire. The sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows and their tongues sharp. He's talking about the canine teeth of the lions. They're very strong, they're very powerful, and they pounce upon you. We have mountain bobcat up here, these hills, and you see them from time to time. I've got an article back in the 80s. They had a real problem because they started attacking humans. And they said, they always track you. They'll track you for miles. And then they always come from behind and grab you on the neck. and they paralyze you. They said, always, always make yourself bigger and stronger and fight back and resist the devil and he will flee from you. And they said, if you resist the devil, if you resist those bobcat, they'll flee from you. Look what he says here in verse number, be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above the earth. I have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. I have digged a pit before me in the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. Selah. There he says it again. Raise it a half step. And how does he begin verse 8? I want you to read verse 8. It's the verse I'm going to ask you to memorize this week. Verse 7. Let's read it. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. Do you remember Psalm 55? Go back, unless you know it, memorize it. Psalm 55, 18. Psalm 55, the 55 Chevy, verse 18. Let's say it together if you know it. Ready? Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall... And then we went to 56 and verse number 3. Read it together. Ready, begin. What time I am afraid, I will trust in you. And then tonight, Psalm 57. I love the 57 Chevy. You know, the 57 Chevy, 55 was the first year they put a V8 in these cars. And then this one. But this, they put a larger one. The 57 Chevy is the classic car of all cars. 57 Chevys are all over, but it's hard to believe. You Ford people are going to like this. They sold more Fords than they did 57 Chevys. And I'm not trying to be rude if you're a Ford lover. The Fords have been melted down. The Fords, the 57 Fords, they were nice, but they weren't classics. The people didn't go for them. They went for this 57 Chevy. I tell you what, those big fins, we were in the space age. In 1961, my dad told me I could spend the whole day at the car dealerships in downtown Stockton. And I went across the way to Ford, Eagle Ford. And I went and looked at those 61s. And then I went down the street. I went to Chase Chevrolet. And then I went over to the Oldsmobile, the Buick, the Cadillac dealership, part of Central Chevrolet. And then I went over to the Chrysler. And I was just a young kid, 11, 12. I spent the entire day away from my dad looking at cars. They had a brochure, all the cars had a brochure of the car looking like that. It was like it was going a missile to space. And because we were in the space age. And the 57 Chevy, 58 Chevy, not so much, 59, 60 Chevy. I'm gonna preach them all. I'm gonna preach all these Chevys. I've got up to 2075 or whatever year it is. But I'm telling you something. God's word is so powerful. And he said, my heart is fixed. David said, I'm running from Saul. I need mercy. I need pity. I need to trust you. I'm so weary. But he mentioned God and he mentioned Selah. And then he mentions it again. He says, God, my heart is fixed. To be fixed means to be anchored. I don't know what troubles you're facing tonight. Or that you're about to face, or you have faced, and you've come through. Either Doug Fisher used to always say here, you either are just coming out of a trial, you're headed toward a trial, or you're in the midst of a trial. But you all go through them. In 2025, we're all going to go through trials. You're going to lose your job. The doctor's going to give you a poor report, and you're not going to like it. A child's going to backslide on you. Break your heart. I mean, there's nothing like a broken heart of a mom or dad. I've dealt with so many through the years that their son or daughter's away from God. Nothing like it. Your mate's going to leave you. I don't know, but friend, you got to say, my heart's fixed. My heart's anchored. My heart is secure. My heart is calm. It's happy. My heart is fixed. Look at verse number 8. Verse number 7. My heart is fixed. Oh God, my heart is fixed.
Yeah.
How do you become not a wishy-washy Christian? Well, you fix your heart. How? With the Word of God.
Amen.
With the songs of God.
Yes.
With the house of God.
Yes. Amen.
With obedience to God.
Yes.
With trust in God.
Right.
That's how you get your heart fixed.
Yeah.
I know not what the future holds, but I know who holds my future. It's a secret known only to Him. I don't like it when I see people go through trial, but I always have to say, I wonder what huge blessing God's going to put on their life for this trial they're going through. God always takes you through trials. And when I'm tried and purified, I'm going to come forth, Job 23:10, as gold. We're done with the psalm. Awake up, my glory, awake, psaltery, awake, harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee in the nations, for thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth to the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens, for thy glory be above all the earth. He starts off rather depressed. He ends real strong. Today, the verse you're going to memorize this week is Psalm 57, verse 7. Get your heart fixed.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.